Welcome to She Talks Tech, the brand new podcast from We Are Tech Women.
The most important takeaway from the experiment is not that the way that we redefined teams worked off the bat, everyone was happy and everything was successful. It was our approach to when things weren't going so well, when things weren't great. We took the approach that as leaders of this group, we needed to be open to iteration. We couldn't just implement this process and expect everything to go well.
I'm Vanessa Vallely-OBE, founder of We Are The City and We Are Tech Women. As an individual that's been a technologist both in the corporate space and as an entrepreneur, I know how tough it can be to rise to the top of our profession. Women in tech make up just 17% of the industry in the UK, and those stats do not improve even if you look overseas. At We Are Tech Women, we want you to rise to the top of the industry. We want you to sit into senior positions and be key decision makers. It gives me great pleasure to introduce this brand new podcast to the suite of support we are already offering to women in tech across the globe. The She Talks Tech podcast will bring you stories, lessons and tips from some of the most inspirational women and men in the industry. From robotics and drones to fintechs, neurodiversity and coronavirus apps, these individuals are sharing their experience for the benefit of your learning. Today we hear from Vice President at JP Morgan Chase, Rebecca Fowlerm, in her session about agile teams. Rebecca is responsible for the delivery of products which serve thousands of the firm's application developers. Rebecca has extensive experience leading agile teams with a specific focus on transformation. In this session, Rebecca shares examples of agile best practice drawn from her extensive experience. She also looks at the future of Agile through the lens of an individual experience, which in turn contribute to the potential of a team. This fantastic episode doesn't just look at the success factors, but also the importance of lessons learned along the way.
How many times have you heard the phrase, there is no I in team? Perhaps as leaders, you've even said it yourself. I'm here today in order to answer the question, what is the future in Agile? By challenging this approach, that by implementing a team-based theory such as Agile, we really need to focus on the I and start with the individuals. I'm going to do this in three ways. I'm going to start with how we identify individuals, how we start with the who. And I'll move on to an example from when I was running a graduate program of how we redefine teams. And I'll finish with how we can improve our processes to support individuals and teams. And in this, I'll use the example of hiring. I'm going to conclude with how, as JP Morgan, we lead not only ourselves in the financial sector, but also as people leaders. And we're able to be successful through our focus on people. For those of you that have attended Agile training, you may be familiar with the concept of the five whys. Within the product management space, the five whys, or the concept of starting with why, is really popular in identifying root cause analysis or focusing on how we join our customers' problems to our product. However, I'm going to be arguing that starting with why can actually take away from some of the ideals that Agile really drives towards, such as delivery and morale. So I'm Rebecca, and I live in London. I have two cats. I like to bake, and I do yoga. And these small facts about me could lead us to have some high-level conversation. And if you've got cat photos to share, I am very keen to look at them. But these don't tell you much about my purpose or my goals. And if we're working together, it would be difficult for you to align my purpose and my goals to the work that I was doing. If I tell you that I'm married and I'm a Christian and I like puzzles, this allows us to have a deeper conversation and really start to identify a bit more about who I am and allow you to structure my work around that. Within the Agile context, if you've got individuals who are able to align their goals to the work that they're doing, overall, you'll be able to improve the delivery of that team. This is Maslow's well-documented hierarchy of needs. And Maslow spent time as a social psychologist looking at the different facets of life that individuals need to be successful. As you reach the top of the pyramid, he defined that as self-actualization. For me, I define self-actualization as reaching one's purpose, And when I'm working with agile teams and individuals, I really need to dig into some of the attributes in the pyramid to start to understand their purpose so that we can start to structure their work and their life around that. And as individuals coming together as a team, helping them to share those perspectives with one another to create something that's not just a group of individuals trying to get a job done, but actually a group of individuals that know one another deeply and are connected to the broader purpose. I'm going to start with this example, a developer, we have an operations person, and we have a manager. And this is going to demonstrate where the who was not ignored, but there were some misplaced questions and some misplaced decision making, which led to not a disaster, but a problem. So this is Sue, and Sue's a developer. She's very experienced and she likes working with her customers and understanding the problems that they have and making solutions that fix those problems. And then we have Bob, and Bob's on the operations side. And Bob really hates the overnight and weekend support that he's required to do. And finally, we have Charlie, and Charlie's the boss. Charlie likes to think he's a good boss because he has one-to-ones and skip levels with all of his team. And he likes to make decisions that he thinks will help them all be more successful. Charlie's been hearing a little bit about DevOps, and he has an idea. Why don't I swap the teams that Bob and Sue are assigned to? That should solve most of the problem. But let's fast forward 1 month, and both Sue and Bob are unhappy and their teams are underperforming. Rather than starting with the why, let's look a little bit deeper at the who and the motivations. Bob gets overtime for his night and weekend support. He needs to earn this money because he's the main breadwinner at home and he has children to support. From Sue's perspective, her experience meant she was able to get her work done quickly and help her colleagues. And while she loves working with customers, she really misses delivering solutions. Just by looking a little bit more at the who and asking some more profound questions would have saved Charlie this headache. The who here is critical. Nuances and details about the individuals would have stopped this problem from arising. At JP Morgan, we recognize the role that a manager can play in such a circumstance. And especially now where almost everyone is remote, the role of the manager is critical. We have developed a pioneering leadership training program to help a range of managers, from the aspiring through to the tenured managing director, and focusing on a range of topics from handling difficult conversations to managing remote teams. With all of them, we begin with internal self-reflection for the individuals participating so that they start to understand their own drivers and motivations, and then they put that into practice through one-on-ones with their teams. From a JP Morgan perspective, our managers are the difference between us being successful or failing. My second example was when I was running the infrastructure graduate program. We have a broad technology graduate program at JP Morgan, and all of us within the lines of businesses have the opportunity to spend more time with those graduates. Let me talk about the problem that we had and why I was asked to come in and look at the graduate training program. Between 2010 and 2015, within the infrastructure group, graduates only made up 2% of the organization. Within a year, or maybe less, we were seeing attrition to the other lines of businesses to the tune of 45%. That was a lot of wasted energy, effort, and time that we were investing into these individuals. What we did is we started with one-to-ones with all of the graduates, those that had already left the organization and those that were still there. And we revealed a problem not only with some of the management styles that they were experiencing, but also with the projects that they were working on. Some of them were dull and uninteresting, and they were seeking a bit more glamour within their world. So we looked at this problem and we decided to create a micro experiment. We took one team and we combined graduates from different places and assigned them to one manager. And we then provided lots of different projects for them to look at across the year. We were able to see that their satisfaction and their desire to move organizations went down. So the following year, in 2017, we took this approach across our UK locations. Let me talk a little bit more about the structural changes that we made. This is an existing style of our agile team that our graduates would have experienced. One or two graduates assigned to a team that included senior, junior developers, perhaps a product manager as well. they would not always be co-located. We turned this into a process where we would have multiple graduates, maybe up to six, assigned to one people manager with a technical and agile coach assigned to that team to support them with their other needs. We would then also create opportunities for the various graduate pools to speak to one another, share experiences, and we continued the one-to-ones. The most important takeaway from the experiment is not that the way that we redefined teams worked off the bat, everyone was happy and everything was successful. It was our approach to when things weren't going so well, when things weren't great. We took the approach that as leaders of this group, we needed to be open to iteration. We couldn't just implement this process and expect everything to go well. We continued the one-to-ones, we continued surveying, and we made sure we could change things when we could. For some individuals, this process did not work. But rather than fight it, rather than put the line in the sand and say, this is absolutely what we have to do, we work with the individuals, we work with their manager, and we change things to make it more suitable to them, or we help them to find a different role. There's some key results that I want to share with you that talk about the experiment, but the most important thing is the conclusions, which I'll come on to in just a minute. As of this year, the number of graduates that we see in our infrastructure organization has gone up to 5%. The most interesting bit is that we only see attrition at 22%. This is where individuals are going to other lines of businesses. But the really great fact is that the popularity of our program means that we see graduates from those lines of businesses also looking to come into the organization. So we've managed to halve our attrition, double the amount of graduates. This was a change. We needed to make sure it worked for everyone. It was not enough for 99% of people to be happy. We had to suit 100%. That 1% could have been detrimental to the success of the team. We needed to make sure that everyone was playing their part and on the even playing field. I think very often with agile teams, we get them through the kind of first bit of forming. We go through storming, we get through to performing, and then we step back. As agile leaders, we need to take the responsibility to continually nourish and refine our agile teams, to be prepared to make changes so that 100% of the individuals are happy. As leaders of this program, it was really our company values in making sure that the 100% needs were met. It was our company values to prioritize the people that meant we were able to make these changes. It was our company values to prioritize the people that meant we were empowered to make the changes necessary for 100% to be happy. The next example I'm going to move on to is hiring. In terms of hiring for an agile team, I think a lot of the time I see people just looking for the next application developer. They just look at skill set and they want to bring them in and get them working as quickly as possible. But hiring in the agile space is a really special skill. Most of the time, you have an established team that has an established way of working, that has specific personalities that need someone to come in and match and fit and enable. So that means we need to take a lot more time when it comes to hiring. In my previous team, we had a number of individuals and we were looking to expand the team by nearly double in order to fulfill some work that we were trying to do. And what we quickly realized is that we had some complex characters within our team and we couldn't just hire the next awesome developer that we met on the recruitment list. So whilst we had some excellent candidates that would have been perfectly placed at JP Morgan, we actually needed to develop a strategy for digging into their personalities a little bit more so that we could ensure they would fit in our puzzle. One of the first things we did was hire as a team. So as the product manager within this group, I and the engineering lead would hire together and we would balance each other out with him asking the very deep technical questions and me asking questions about their motivations, about their experience in Agile, about their processes that they were used to using within their firms. It meant that we provided a different perspective. We're not just interested in you for your skill set. We're interested in you because of what you can bring to the table as your whole person. Often when we talk of hiring as panels, it looks like the image on the left where it's a bit intimidating. What we wanted to create is the idea that we had a puzzle that was missing a piece and we needed to hire someone to fill it. The other two things that I want to talk about is questions that you can ask to reveal a little bit more about individuals that mean that you can guarantee, or at least work towards guaranteeing, their fit within your team and within the broader organization. So one of the questions I would always ask a candidate is, what is your favorite or the most important Agile ceremony? Now, this generally is a trick question, but what I was really interested in is the reasons that candidates gave for the answer. So, for example, if they said they liked stand-up or they thought stand-up was important, and it was because it was important everyone was on the same page and working towards the same goal, that told me they were a team player. It was important everyone lined up. If they said they really liked demos and the retrospective because they like to iterate and make changes, that was a good thing too. We were able to align these to the existing personalities that we already had in our team and make decisions based on that. If we met a candidate that was coming across really well and we were keen on them, we would ask them some questions about the culture they were expecting about the organization that they wanted to join. Within London, as a technology group, we've come up with 5 pillars that we use to define what a good culture should look like. And this includes learning, recognition, autonomy, safety. And these things, we ask the candidates to put in order of their preference and we ask them why. And again, there is no correct order, there is no correct answer. But the why, that really enabled us to understand more about the who. And that who, whether or not they would do well and fit in at the broader cultural level of JP Morgan. For me, hiring is so critical. In the Agile space, can be done very well or very poorly. And it's very important for us to be thinking about our existing teams and how that individual can join it and fit in. I'm going to start my conclusion with focusing on JP Morgan and how we are a people-first company. You'll see from the screen some quotes from our leaders that really demonstrate the fact that they care about us as employees, they care about us as people. When the outset of COVID-19 was becoming more apparent and we were going to need to do some drastic moving of people from the office to home, our leaders fast-tracked our trial of Zoom to ensure that they could move their entire technology organization, 50,000 people, from the office to home within just a couple of weeks, mostly before any localized action was occurring. They continue to reward and recognize those individuals that were playing this key part. And from a technology perspective, we're actually able to support over 200,000 people working remotely. And our leaders understand that only by appreciating us as employees, only by focusing on us as individuals, will we in turn focus on our customers. And that's the critical bit. That's the difference between success and failure at a large company level. We think about team, we think about company, but actually it's about the individual. I hope that I've shared with you some insights into Agile being about the I. It's not just about the team. We must remember the individuals. Even successful teams can have unhappy individuals, and 99% is never going to be good enough. That 1% can cause a dramatic impact on the delivery morale of a team. It's important we focus on that 1%. Our processes can make a difference. When we're hiring, rewarding, whether we're supporting, it must be done from an individual basis. We've reached a point now where Agile is not just new and shiny. We're not having lots of conversations with our business partners about hiring Scrum Masters and the value of doing ceremonies. No, I think we're past that. But for me, the future of Agile, and for JP Morgan, the future, full stop, is we must start with the I. We must start with the I in Agile in order for us to be successful.
Rebecca, I can't thank you enough for being my guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. It was so wonderful to listen to you speak about not only the successes, but also the lessons learned along the way. A huge thank you to everyone for tuning in and listening today. We really appreciate your support. You can find out more about Rebecca by connecting with her on LinkedIn. If you've enjoyed this podcast, we would really appreciate it if you would subscribe. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today and on any of our other podcasts, please give us a 5-star review. We really look forward to welcoming you next Wednesday morning for a brand new episode of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women.